to EKI Energy Services Limited Q2 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Elara Securities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harshit Kaparia from Elara Securities. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Kaparia.
Yeah. Thank you, Nido. Very good afternoon to everyone. We welcome you all for a conference call of EK Energy Services Limited for Q2 FY25 and H1 FY25 earnings call. Today we have the management of EK Energy Services Limited, represented by Mr. Manish Kumar Dapkara, Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Mohit Kumar Agarwal, Chief Financial Officer, to discuss the earnings results of Q2 FY25. I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Manish Kumar Dapkara for the opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me the call. So, hello everyone. I extend a welcome to all of you. We are grateful to have you with us as we discuss EKI Energy Services Limited's performance for the second quarter and the first half of FY24-25. Joining me on this call is our CFO, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Mohit Agarwal. I trust you had the opportunity to review our investor presentation and press release, both of which are accessible on the Stock Exchange website as well as on our company's official website. Coming over performance amidst market volatility, so the carbon markets have observed significant volatility in the recent months, almost for last 1.5-2 years, which is driven by the regulatory changes and increasing scrutiny of crediting mechanisms. Yet despite these challenges, I am pleased to report that EKI has weathered the storm with resilience and focus. Our consolidated revenue for the second quarter reflects stability with our strong liquidity and cost management strategies have allowed us to remain competitive and efficient in the markets. Our subsidiaries have also been instrumental in this success. More orders for the Sur Nutan Indoor Solar Cook Store device, which is the patented device of Indian Oil Company Limited, the IOCL, and the Urja Improved Cook Store, and further getting one step closer to our mission of universal clean cooking access increasingly makes it a big part of our operations. Our power trading division continues to deliver profits, further cementing our leadership in the sector and showcasing the resilience of our diversified business model. As EKI Power Trading enters its first year of operation, we are laying the foundation for a more streamlined and structured business approach with a clear plan to implement these improvements from the next financial year onwards. Gradually, we aim to diversify our presence in the power sector.
But can you hear us?
No. No, we are not able to hear.
Yeah. There was some network issue. So gradually we aim to diversify our presence in the power sector, expanding our portfolio and driving sustainable growth in the long term. By capitalizing on the growing demand for clean energy, this division has remained a key driver of our financial success. Amrut Major Solutions Private Limited, one of the prominent subsidiaries, has demonstrated exceptional performance for this quarter. With a strong focus on nature-based solutions, the subsidiary's achievement showcases our comprehensive approach to decarbonization. By diversifying our portfolio across multiple climate-friendly initiatives, we are well-positioned to lead the transition to a low-carbon, sustainable future. Coming over, navigating the regulatory changes, one of the major development impacting the global voluntary carbon market has been the ICVCM's rejection on several established renewable energy methodologies, which were from CBM, VCS, gold standard mechanisms, many of which were there to easing carbon credit issuance for grid-connected renewable energy projects. These changes have created more challenging environment for the renewable energy projects, especially in the emerging markets like India, China, and Turkey. Having worked on numerous renewable energy projects across the globe, we find this shift in policy to be a complex one for the business and for the industry. While we respect the need for increased scrutiny and integrity in the voluntary carbon markets internationally, specifically at the international level, wherein all the buyers are located in the developed economies, specifically the Western world, we believe that grid-connected renewable energy projects still play a vital role in the global decarbonization journey, especially in the regions with low capacity utilization and high distribution costs. The CCP, that means core carbon principle under ICVCM label, triggers a financial incentive, and without that, the pace of transitioning to clean energy will slow, as renewable energy technologies like wind, solar, and geothermal often have higher initial cost with many risks compared to the fossil fuel-based projects or power generation activities. This could reduce the overall growth of the renewable energy sector. With this, this will also stifle innovation. Incentives often provide the crucial funding needed for new technologies to be developed and scaled. Without them, advancements in clean energy may stall hindering efforts to reduce global carbon emissions. Taking away incentives undermines global climate goals, such as the Paris Agreement targets, making it harder for countries to meet their emission reduction commitments under the Paris Agreement. Developing countries, in particular, rely on these financial mechanisms to build their renewable energy infrastructure. The removal of incentives coming from the carbon markets or climate finance would deepen energy poverty, limit their ability to meet climate pledges, and globally inequality in the fight of climate against the climate change will be happening. We remain optimistic that there will be future opportunities for dialogue with regulatory bodies at the national and international level, particularly as COP29 Conference of Parties Meeting Number 29, which is going to happen next month at Baku, Azerbaijan, approaches. That some of the methodologies will be re-evaluated to ensure a fair and equitable transition to the clean energy. Growth in carbon markets and milestone covering this topic, so despite the regulatory turbulences, our outlook for the carbon market remains strong, because these are temporary in nature. All these turbulences are temporary in nature. The global demand for high-quality carbon credits is only set to grow, driven by mounting commitments to carbon neutrality and net zero goals by the private parties, not only in developed economies, but now it is getting more and more famous in the developing nations, and more stringent emission reduction targets under the compliance carbon markets. I also bring me great joy to share you the remarkable milestones in our biomass briquette initiative, superheaded by our subsidiary GHG Reduction Technologies Private Limited. Since April 2024, we have significantly ramped up the production, delivering over 400 tons of bio briquettes to various buyers who are looking to decarbonize their thermal energy generation requirements. This initiative is an integral part of our mission to offer sustainable alternatives to traditional fuels, especially in rural communities that rely heavily on non-renewable energy sources like wood and like specifically coal and other similar sources. The production of bio briquettes not only contributes to reducing deforestation, but also plays a crucial role in lowering carbon emissions. These briquettes are created from the agricultural residue or agricultural waste, offering a renewable and eco-friendly energy solutions that supports clean energy or clean cooking practices at the rural communities. And also it helps to reduce indoor air pollution and improves the health outcomes. This achievement showcases our commitment to providing scalable, impactful solutions that address both environmental and social challenges. We are excited to continue expanding this initiative and contributing to the global efforts to of creating a cleaner, more sustainable future for all. Our new manufacturing unit in Nairobi, Kenya, an important expansion to our clean cooking initiative across Africa. This facility, established in partnership with a local partner, NCL Limited, is integral to enhancing our operational capacity and presence on the continent. By setting up production locally, we gain strategic access to a rapidly growing market by optimizing supply chain efficiencies. This move not only reduces logistical challenges, but also minimizes costs associated with the imports and transportation. This facility will be key to scaling up production, meet and increasing demand, expand our market share in the region, and addressing energy needs sustainably on the continent. Partnering with a local entity aligns with our broader strategy of fostering collaborative relationships that drive sustainable growth while ensuring local expertise and knowledge are leveraged. Our clean cooking initiative in Malawi, Africa, which has already reached more than 25,000 households in the country, providing cleaner and more efficient clean cooking solutions, has been granted permission for the project to issue 1.4 million carbon credit by the local government, which would be under Article 6.2 of the Paris Agreement, and the credits can be used for the voluntary and compliance applications, not only for countries to meet their NDC targets, for the alliances to meet their COSIA emission reduction targets, and for the voluntary carbon market to get the high integrity voluntary carbon credits. This means not only cleaner kitchen and air quality improvement in the region, but also financial sustainability for the project itself. The carbon credits will provide a revenue stream in reinforcing the project's long-term viability and EKI's commitment to environmental and social progress. The initiative success is further strengthened by the local partnerships, enabling us to generate profound monetary yields while also making a meaningful impact on both the environment and the local communities. Coming over building for the future with the EKI Academy, so looking ahead, one of the most important milestones in our journey of EKI as a group of companies, we know that the future of decarbonization will require new skills, new perspectives, and bold innovation. That is why we are pumped to launch the EKI Academy, an initiative designed to equip the next generation of climate warriors with the knowledge and expertise needed to drive sustainability forward. The Academy will offer training in areas like GHG accounting, greenhouse gas accounting, sustainability, and emerging trends like nature-based solution and extended producer responsibility. It has a lot more to offer, and we are confident that this new initiative will fuel a new energy in the operations of EKI. In conclusion, I would like to extend my heartfelt appreciation to our employees, clients, vendors, shareholders, stakeholders for their steadfast support. Their dedication and commitment have been instrumental in driving our success thus far. Thank you for being with us today. And the times might be turbulent, but I see progression as I look forward to sharing our continued success and as working together towards a sustainable future. With that, I will now hand over the call to our CFO, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Mohit Agrawal, who will provide an overview of our financial performance. Thank you very much. Over to you, Mohit.
Thank you. Thank you, Manishji. And good morning, everyone. Turning to our financial performance for the second quarter of financial year 24-25, our standalone revenue for this quarter is 45.95 crore, and reporting profit after tax is 4.09 crores. Cash flow from operation of the company is 31 crores, after reduction of advances of creditors, realization of inventory and trade receivables, and other measures taken by our company from time to time. We anticipate substantial revenue booking from Cook Stove projects due to the issuance of the credits during the remaining period of current financial year, as well as from other clean cooking initiative projects. We assure you that we are well liquidated and well financially, robustly financially a strong company, and we will stand by throughout this all turmoil. Thank you everyone. And over to Harshit.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Sajin, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Congratulations, Mr. Dabkara, for coming back into the profits after a few quarters.
Thank you, sir.
I just want to know what is the revenue breakup of this 143.12 crores into carbon, briquette and power trading?
Mohit, can you please support?
Yeah, I can give you. 46 crores you can take from carbon, 95 crore from from power sector.
Okay.
And approximately 2 crore from briquette business, that is GHG Reduction Technologies Private Limited.
Okay. So this is 143.12 crore.
Yeah, approximately this is the breakup. Yeah.
Another thing, what I've seen, how much million unit of carbon has been sold?
Carbon has been sold, right? So quantity you are asking.
Yes.
Five million in first half. During the first half, from April to September, we have sold approximately 5.1 million credits.
Okay, 5 million. Achha, another thing what I have seen that this quarter, our other expenses has been reduced by more than 6 crores.
Okay, yeah.
The Q1 was 17.7 crore and
yes,
this
sir.
Quarter it is 11.02 crore. So, this reduction is a long-term type of thing or it is only seasonal?
No, it's a long-term. I have already mentioned in my speech also, sir. We are taking a various reduction methodology like reduction of, you can say, rented premises or whatsoever we can do in a company to reduce any admin charges, anything, so that our company can generate a profit or save the money for in this turmoil period. That we are taking there, and this is the result of that only.
So it is going to sustain?
Yeah, it is going to sustain. You are right.
The last question is, the other income also has increased by approximately 3 crores this quarter.
Yes, sir.
Can you tell me what is this other income, 5.98 crores?
Other income is from the treasury function. As we are generating a cash, and we were having a cash in first quarter also, that has given a boost to our other income. Approximately 4 crores we have got from interest and other mutual fund and other NAV part.
And another 1.98 crore?
That is majorly, sir, I will say that approximately 5 crore from this one, treasury function itself only. And another, you can say, 50 lakhs amount is from Forex exchange and other and very small amount from a scrap or something sale.
So here also, as because we are coming into a good positive cash flow, So probably we are going to see a higher other income in the coming quarters.
You are right, sir. Yes, sir. This income is going to increase gradually, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from line of Sandesh Matre, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, yes.
So my question is on a consolidated basis for this power business, including the power business, right? So I see the profit margin currently being less than 1%. Okay, so is it always going to be like that or how is it?
So since it is the first year of our business and we are trying to gain as client as we can. So since we are new in the market of related to the power trading, we are offering our services at lowest as much as we can. So that is why the margin is lower. But in coming few quarters, we believe that once we do have a very good position, so the clients, like we do have a client base of more than 3,000 clients across the world, and this new service definitely would help them to decarbonize their scope 2 emissions. So definitely we believe that with the increase in number of clients, with the increase in market share within the trading of power markets, so definitely it should increase. That is the thing we do believe.
Okay. And the other question I had is for the upcoming COP, is this a part of the agenda already that this topic of carbon markets will be covered?
Definitely, sir. So under Article 6.2 and under Article 6.4 of the Paris Agreement, two nations can do trading of carbon credits to meet their national determined contribution goals to achieve their net zero emission targets. And for last E4 COPs, this specific agenda is one of the prime agenda. And if you can see the COP29 website also, they do have a very strong agenda to start carbon markets, international carbon markets within the Article 6 of the Paris Agreement, while clearing or passing all the guidelines, rules, regulations under the meeting agenda items. So yes, definitely it is one of the prime agenda under the COP discussions.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mohammed Afroz Khatib, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, good morning, sir. Good afternoon, sir. This is Mohammed Afroz Khatib. It's nice to speak with Mr. Manish Dabkara, sir. Congratulations for recovering all revenue and PAT. My question is, when we can expect Josfong Group and Firing Solution and other countries' revenue in our upcoming quarters?
Yeah, so we have done the declarations and we are at the finalization stages while signing these shareholder agreements and further formation of the JV. So probably during this quarter or probably before the end of the financial year, we would be able to start the business operations through that specific generations.
Also, about IOC, sir.
IOC?
Yes, sir. We have solar cookstoves project from IOC. This PAT and revenue, when we can expect?
So we are getting very good traction because this IOCL Sur Nutan cookstove is being added by Government of India MOFCC notification for addition of this technology at Article 6.2 and Article 6.4 of the Paris Agreement. Further
the voluntary carbon markets also to allow the registration verification trading of these credits. But since the technology, the cost is very, very high, so we are very much dependent on the CSR fund, philanthropic fund, and the Article 6.2-6.4 support for the investors to invest into this project activity. So recently, as we have also submitted the information over the exchange, that from Bill Gates and Melinda Foundation, we have received a 5 crore fund, and definitely it will be reflected, the numbers will be reflected very soon in our books. Further, the projects around 600 cookstoves are going to be on ground in three different states, and we are in talk with various Japanese, Korean, and other international investors who are very much interested to work with the IOCL and with this specific technology. So in coming few quarters, we would we foresee that we would gain a very good traction for this specific technology.
Okay. Sir, last question. When in India carbon market is going to start, and how much you are confident about carbon credit business in India, sir?
So there are four different layers of the carbon market. One is driven by the international treaties like Article 6 of the Paris Agreement. Second one is the CBAM mechanism. CBAM, that is the international, not international treaty, but that is the tax which would be imposed by the European Union. And similarly, other developed nations are also looking to impose the similar penalty. The third thing is the CORSIA. So these are the first layer is driven through the international treaties. Second layer is driven through the national laws. Like in India, you know, under the Energy Conservation Act 22, we are going to have two different markets. One would be the compliance carbon market. Second one would be the voluntary carbon market. So under compliance market, nine different sectors have been identified by Government of India, and probably next month or two, in a month or two, they will do come up with the list of around 500 different companies, wherein the targets would be given to them to reduce their emissions. And if they would not be able to reduce, then the trading of carbon credits will do happen within India. So more deepening of the sectors will do happen. Addition of the new sectors will do happen in near future. Further, the offset mechanism, that is the voluntary carbon market, is going to get established under the same similar this Energy Conservation Act 22. And we are very much optimistic that these three different markets, which are going to start in next 6 to 12 months timeline or before that, will do definitely help us to open new avenues to explore and to ensure our growth in those specific sectors. Further, the international voluntary carbon market, in which we work for last 5-10 years, is struggling because of the quality of carbon credit concern and because of the greenwashing issue, and probably with the establishment of these three markets, the fourth market will do also take many learnings, and the trust transparency issue will do get over, and probably that specific market, the international voluntary carbon market, will also gain good traction in coming few quarters. So, yeah, we are very much optimistic that this is three different avenues of the carbon market, and the fourth one, which is struggling with the specific issues, as I mentioned, we would come back with good numbers.
Okay, sir. Wish you all the best, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mr. Prabhu, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yes.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity. So I have two questions with respect to the segment reporting which has been reported in the consolidated financials. So the first one is on the trading segment part. I could see the segment expenses is more than the revenue. Could you please explain what is the nature of the trading segment and also why expenses have been higher?
Can I explain you, sir? Yes. Hello. Yeah. Segment reporting. In segment reporting, we have our own generated segment and trading segment. Own generated segment, that means the credit which we are generating from our own projects. if you will see the balance sheet, you will find that there is a capex item of approximately 100 crore rupees in our books, where we are generating stock credits, which we are showing separately in a generation segment first. Second, trading segment is where we are doing the trading of carbon credits from the projects which is owned by other owners like Adani, Greenko, whosoever is our client. Okay, so that's why you can see that there is a loss in a gross loss. We are making profit at a cumulative basis, but on a trade basis. Hello, is it audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So in that way, we are booking some of the losses. That's the reason there is a losses of 6,000 minus 8,000, approximately 2,500 lakhs. Means.
Okay. Yeah, got it, sir. So in that case, so the 100 crores of inventory which we have, will we be incurring future losses on those 100 crores?
No, right now, whatever the inventory is there, that is approximately 91 crore rupees, which is fairly valued as of now, and we are following the valuation method, which NRV and cost, whichever is lower, and all the inventories are fairly valued in this quarter on a market value, that is NRV, net realizable value. That's why we don't believe any further losses from this quarter onward. But still, that is a market. We will see in that. But in last 1 month, we have not booked any losses in selling the credits from inventory.
Okay, sir. Thank you. So in the next question is on, we have cash portion of around 150 crores in our balance sheet. So we wanted to understand how we are going to put in use of those cash balances and what would be the ROI which we can expect from that.
Our other income is the function of that cash flow itself. You can check that also. And we are deploying those funds in a well manner and through our own treasury policy, through our own reverse monitoring process. However, in long term, if you will ask, no doubt those funds will be used for the business only.
Okay, sir. Yeah, thanks. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Next follow-up question is from line of Sajan, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Mr. Dapra, thank you again for giving me opportunity. Can I know this impact of this ICBCM rejection order for this renewable energy? How this can impact the EKI energy?
Sir, ICBCM, had came up with the principle called as core carbon principles, and under the CCP principles, all the programs like VCS gold standard had applied for getting the approval, and already they have passed the same. Further, for the renewable energy projects that they had rejected because they had first approved the landfill gas projects or the methodology or category, you can say. Then odor depleting substances category had also been approved by them. Further, gas leaking systems or the projects which do come under the pipeline gas leak reduction category had also been approved, but recently they had disapproved. Whatever the way the projects used to get registered and from the renewable energy domain under the VCS and gold standard specifically, so they had rejected that the way the projects are getting registered is not aligned with the CCP principle. So now VCS and gold standard again are working towards revising their criterias. Once that will be approved within VCS and gold standard system, it will be then approved by the ICVCM. Further, it will be approved by once it will be approved by the ICVCM, then further all the projects which are already registered for last 10-15 years, they need to migrate based on the criteria that would be set by the VCS and GS. So all this process definitely will do take almost 1 to 2 years, and once the criteria that will do come from VCS and gold standard, we would be able to evaluate what is the clear impact based on the ICVCM decision, and how many number of projects are allowed to get migrated. If they are allowed, then the prices, we would be able to get a better prices. If it would not be allowed, then the credits would be called as non-ICVCM label credits, and their prices will be less than the CCP label credits. So we have to wait for coming few quarters to get the clear information from the regulatory body, that means ICVCM.
Okay. So you mean to say that it will improve the price if it is approved by the ICVCM in later stage?
Definitely.
But
because those credits which would be approved by sir ICVCM, CCP label, if the project are getting ICVCM CCP label, then those projects would be called as high integrity carbon credits. And definitely the prices would be better as compared to the non-ICVCM label credits, because there are different biases which exist in our market. Some are price sensitive, some are quality sensitive. So for the quality sensitive people, they would be buying ICVCM label credits. For people which are price sensitive, definitely they will go for non-ICVCM label credits. So whole market will not get shifted directly from CCP label credits, but definitely the demand would be there. But we have to see in near future how the market will do react over this segmentation.
But overall, whatever carbon credit units we are having through this renewable energy, we will be able to sell it, but at a lower price.
Pardon, sir?
Whatever this carbon credit units will be having in stock through this renewable energy, if this is not approved also through ICVCM, then also we will be able to sell it, but at lower price.
Definitely, sir. Definitely, because VCS and gold standard, they are still doing the registrations, they are still doing the verifications, and still the credits are coming into the market. Only for the people who are quality conscious or who are looking to get VCMI rating system, then definitely they would be looking for only CCP label credits. But in near few quarters, we have to see how the market segmentation will do happen. That means how much demand will do come from the CCP label market domain, and how much would do remain for the non-CCP one.
Okay. One more question, last question. Since last, I believe, 2 years, we are seeing a poor demand and the lower prices prevailing in the voluntary carbon market. So how do you see the immediate future outlook for prices and demand of VCM?
Yes, sir. As I mentioned during the last session, that there are four different layers, out of which three layers, that means international compliance, national compliance, national voluntary do not exist as of now, which that will do get established in next 6 to 12 months timeline, which I do foresee. Further, the voluntary carbon markets in which we work, international voluntary carbon markets in which we work, wherein the developing nations or the companies like us who are located in developing nations are the sellers, and the companies who are located in developed nations are the buyers. So once these two concerns, quality and greenwashing issue, will do get over, then it has been estimated by various different agencies, which is also available over the Google, that the market size as of now is less than $1 billion globally, but it is being anticipated that it should be in between $10 to $200 billion in next coming 6 to 7 years. That is only for the international voluntary market, and remaining three markets which do not exist as of now. So all cumulatively, it will do create, as per the market research reports available over the Google, it would do create $1 trillion industry in next 5 to 10 years time. And so for any company, for any nation, if they are looking to become a carbon neutral or net zero company or nation, for the residual emissions, sir, they need to buy carbon credits, and that the carbon credits are the final solution for anyone who is looking to decarbonize their company, supply chain, or country. So the future is very, very bright for our industry, and we are very well positioned at the present point in time.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Lokkara. Thank you very much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Rajiv Jain, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, yes.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. My question is regarding this Surya Nutan store. Does this have any role in terms of revenue contribution in the company?
Sir, recently, you know, a few months back only, we have signed an MOU with IOCL, exclusive MOU to work under carbon, with the help of carbon market. We have to raise fund for that specific technology, and also we do have our own manufacturing set up there at Nasik, wherein we would be doing manufacturing further with the help of our partners. We will be doing distribution. So the whole package, service package, we would be giving to the investors coming from CSR domain, from philanthropy, or from Article 6.2 or 6.4. And we are very much optimistic that in near few quarters we would be able to get good contracts for this specific technology, which is quite associated with the compliance, carbon, international compliance, carbon markets.
So how this business will contribute to the revenue of the company? Through carbon credit only, or do we have any?
We would be getting the comprehensive EPC contracts from the investors coming from various domains. So we will do manufacturing, we will do distribution, we will do registration, verification, and issuance of credits, which either we would be able to sell. Finally, once the credits will be issued, we would be able to sell and bring in the revenue for our investors, the project level investors. And further, if the investors who are looking to trade by their own, or if it's required for their internal compliances, for example, if someone is located, any company is located there at Japan, and if they do have the compliance target, and they can also buy the international offsets, international compliance credits under Article 6 of the Paris Agreement. So they can meet their targets with the help of such kind of credit. So that is how the credits will get positioned in the compliance and voluntary carbon market. So majorly the investors would do come from the carbon markets, and at the second level may also come from the philanthropic funds or CSR funds.
Okay. And what is the quantity of the inventory in terms of carbon credit at the end of this quarter?
Mohit?
Yeah, 8.7 million.
8.7 million?
Yeah.
Okay. And last question is, what is the expectation from COP29, which is in next month, is in Baku? What is the expectation?
I mentioned during the last question that once all the regulations or the guidelines, rules, regulations, guidelines will get passed by all the nations during the negotiation at COP29, Article 6.2 market will get strengthened, and Article 6.4 market will get started. So these are the two expectations we do have from COP29.
Okay. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Nimesh Sundar from ASK Investments. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, please.
So on a first question is on a macroeconomic level. So I just wanted to understand, like, so far in the US, the Biden-Harris administration, they have a favorable view on the climate change. So if Trump returns to power in the next elections, then how do you foresee the impact on the international carbon credit market and also for us as a whole? Because America is one of the major drivers of climate change. So,
As you know, during the last tenure of Trump, he had ordered to withdraw U.S. from the Paris Agreement during year 2017. And while having 3 years cooling period during 2020, U.S. came out of the Paris Agreement. But Biden again signed this Paris Agreement treaty during 21, and then the whole traction or high traction that was there during year 21-22 because of one of the reasons was USA again came back into the Paris Agreement and voluntary carbon market had given very good response for the same. The if he will do come back into the presidency position for example, then whatever the actions which are happening there at USA will do definitely get impacted. We need to understand how it will do get impacted because there are two different markets which used to exist. As I mentioned during the last questions also, there are four different layers. One layer is because of the Article 6 of the Paris Agreement, and as present point in time, USA is not doing anything related to the buying of carbon credits under Article 6, so there would not be any impact for this specific market, which is about to come. Further, they do not have any national compliance system. They do not have any government. Recently, government had indulged the establishment of the voluntary carbon market or recognition of the voluntary carbon market within USA. The fourth is international voluntary carbon market, wherein 40% of the credits which are being developed within the developing economies like India, China, 40% credit goes to Europe, 40% goes to the US, Canada, and the remaining 20% used to get consumed by all the nations, by remaining nations, which includes all developing and developed. So if USA will do come out from the Paris Agreement, for example, then there would not be, we do not see any impact because the compliance market, two compliance market, international and national, do not exist there in USA at the present point in time also. Further, the voluntary carbon markets definitely will do survive because governments do not usually govern international voluntary carbon markets. This is the market which is driven by, because the companies are looking to improve their ESG rating, because companies are looking to have their sustainable supply chain, because the companies based in USA need to compete because of the peer pressure within the European Union. They also look to become carbon neutral and net zero. So there are various different reasons wherein the demand for the voluntary carbon credits used to be there, and it will not definitely impact whatever the position that the new president may have after this election. So we do not foresee a very minor impact would be there, but not significant one.
Okay, thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Lalit Agarwal from Krishna Agencies. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, and good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Sir, can you, just you have spoken that you have the 8.7 million carbon credit in stock right now. So what is the value of this carbon credit?
91 crore.
And can you bifurcate how much is generated during this financial year and what was in the last year, the stock was in last year?
Major stocks are from 2019 onwards, but I don't have any readily data as of now, year-wise.
Approximately, you can tell the percentage.
Sir, if you can email, the readily information is not available as of now, but you can email, we will be happy to share looking over the compliance.
Right. Okay. And can you tell the average selling price of the carbon credit during this financial year, during this half year? Average selling price.
Mohit, as of now, in the international carbon markets, the prices for the renewable energy credits are ranging in between $0.5 to $2, depending on the volume, country of origin, vintage, program. There are various different factors because of which the prices used to change. So we could not divide the turnover that we have achieved while...
Average selling price, can you tell average selling price during this quarter or first half of this current financial year?
So that will not give us the correct information because each credit is unique in nature and average it out. But definitely we can divide the turnover which we have achieved from the sale of credits divided by the number of credits which we have sold. So how much it would be, Mohit, do you have the data?
Can you break up of the last two, three quarters? The carbon credit sold and the average selling price?
Mr. Agarwal, we can give you everything. You can drop a mail. But for your information, we have clocked 87 crore rupees standalone turnover during this first half, against which we have sold 5 million credits. Okay, you can divide, you can generate the numbers from there. 87 divided by 5 million.
Okay, right. So it comes to average around 170 rupees.
170, that means 2.5 crore, you can say.
And the value you carbon credit today is 91 crore, and we divide this by 8.7 million, then it comes to around 900. This value of this 8.7 million carbon credit is around 100. You booked in your?
Yes.
You estimated in your books.
That's why I told Mr. Agarwal that our inventory is fairly valued as of now against the market value. Yes.
We can expect this change in inventories. This is getting down your profit every quarter. In plus 5 quarters will be stopped in coming 1 to 2 quarter.
We can't give the guidance, but we can our management. Yeah, our management is working towards that the balance sheet should be in positive shape. Bottom line and top line should be on a growing path.
Standalone also we can be positive. Correct.
Standalone also. Yeah.
Thanks a lot, sir. Thank you. I wish you good luck.
Thank you.
Next follow-up question is from the line of Mr. Prabhu, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Am I audible?
Yeah. Just a minute, sir. Manish's call has been dropped. Harshit, can you add him once again?
Yeah, sure.
One moment. I'm dialing him. Manish, sir, you are connected.
Yes.
Thank you, Archit. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for giving me the opportunity, sir. So, I wanted to check on the non-current liability. So, major of this portion will be contract liabilities, right, of this 195 crores. So, I just wanted to understand, so these would be recognized as revenue in the future years. So there are two questions. So one is that based on the segment revenue which has been reported, whether we can expect a similar margin percentage of around 70% of margin. That is first question. And next question is, when can we, what is the timeline in which this will be recognized as revenue over a period of time?
Yeah, as I have told you that we have started issuance of the projects carbon credit. In last quarter itself, we have booked 3.3 crore of revenue out of that contract liability. And we are expecting that the total, means whatever the amount lying in that as of now, will get reversed or will get be booked in next 3 to 4 years time horizon. But it totally depends on the issuance. If the issuance happens in particular quarter, then only it will get reversed, sir.
Okay, sir. So can we expect a margin of around 70% which has been reported in the current period, like for these?
Margin 70% we can't say, but they are accordingly the cost will also be reversed, which is lying as in a contract asset on the asset side of the balance sheet. That will go hand on hand, and that will be in the range of it will be somewhere around 40 to 60% kind of thing, depending on the particular projects, particular cost involved in that project. That's why. So I can't give you a ballpark number as of now. It totally depends in that particular contract basis only.
Okay, sir. The 40 to 60% you had mentioned as the cost, or is it the margin which you had mentioned?
Sorry, sir.
No, you had mentioned 40 to 60%.
Your audio is not coming clear. Can you please speak through the handset?
Is it fine now?
Yes.
Yeah. The 40 to 60% which you had mentioned, is it cost or is it margin, sir?
It will. It see, if the cost is 60%, the margin will be 40%. That means, that's why I'm telling to you, it depends on contract to contract basis. Which contract is coming in particular quarter, we have to reverse contract liabilities and contract asset in that manner only. That's why I can't comment on the ballpark number of the margin as of now.
Okay, sir. Thanks. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the last question from the line of Sandesh Matre, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. So my question is in reference to the collaboration we have with WOC. How much is that contributing to the vision of EKL? And how much is that contributing in terms of revenue?
What? Manishi, can I take? Yeah. Thank you.
Yes,
as of now, WOOS is in incubation period, and they are in discussion with multiple clients in India as well as outside India. We are expecting the revenue from them by the next quarter itself. But as of now, they are not contributing significantly anything in our consolidated balance sheet.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harshit Kaparia for closing comments.
Thank you, Nirav. We would like to thank the management, Mr. Manish Kumar Bhatkara and Mr. Mohit Kumar Agarwal for answering the questions on a very promising note and giving a very strong outlook. Wishing you all the best for the future. And any closing remark, Manish, do you want to tell your investors?
So the market still, as I mentioned earlier, as market is still there in the turbulent stage, and in coming few quarters, with the establishment of three different layers, related to compliance and voluntary market, we are very much optimistic to come up with very good numbers. So thank you very much for all the support to all the stakeholders of the organization. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks to all the stakeholders for their support and for their confidence on us.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. On behalf of Elara Securities Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.